Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
My name's Adam Albarnes. Thanks for joining us live from DigiCon 15. I must say, Rick, it's my first time here. Never been to an actually a DLTV sort of PD type of day, and it's been terrific, even if the weather has been a little bit windy and dodgy today.
And it's episode 38, Adam, and it's our first one back for term three.
And it is, and mate, we took a little bit of a hiatus. Normally we come back for the first week, but we took a bit of time off, and a bit of congratulations, you're in order, because you got married over the holidays.
Well, I did. We sort of kept it under wraps, didn't we? It was a small affair, but a very grand affair is kind of how I describe it. And we had a little bit of leave and went on a bit of a tour of Tassie in the first week. But I must admit, it was nice, as great as that time was, it was always nice to come back. And also nice to know that we had DigiCon 15 coming up and our 38th episode of the podcast.
Absolutely. And the question I think everyone's going to be asking is, how did you rope her in? How did you rope her into marrying you? What did you actually do?
I think I solved that problem a long time ago, I think, Adam.
You probably did, actually.
Yeah.
But look, it's great to have you back, and it's great to be back doing the podcast. I know we missed it during our hiatus, but it's good to be back here at DigiCon. And like I said, this is my first time. I know you spoke yesterday as well on Edmodo.
Yeah, I did a presentation on Edmodo, and also one of the Spark talks, which, to be honest, is one of the highlights of the whole conference of the Spark talks. So next year, if they have them, and if you come along to DigiCon, make sure you get in there and see the Spark Talks. Adam, we've got a big episode. We're hoping to have some special guests. Well done for coming along to your first conference. And we just wanted to say that we're privileged to be asked. And I just want to touch on the keynote from this morning, Adam.
Definitely.
Comedian Anne Edmonds spoke to the crowd. She was great. Obviously, had lots of great anecdotes to tell. But she was talking about taking a risk, and she said that her entire career is kind of based on taking risks. And it just made me think of us today, Adam, because this is us taking risks, because we're out in public. We normally record in a closed space.
We do.
And for us, we're out of our comfort zone today. So I guess there's a time and a place for everything.
And I even want to bring it back to when we did our first episode. I mean, getting together to do this back in 2014 was a risk to do it. Was it going to work? Was it something people were going to like? And we just thought, let's do it. Let's do it for our own enjoyment. And 38 episodes later, we're still going. And, we've got people who want to be on here today and discuss lots of things with us. So it was really hit home with us this morning, didn't it, about that idea of taking risks?
It sure did. And during the episode, we'll hopefully be able to drag in some of the delegates and speakers here, and hopefully we've worded up enough of them. But obviously the name of our podcast is Two Regular Teachers, so we hope to touch on maybe some of the regular things that go on at teaching conferences, Adam, perhaps.
And there's a lot of regular things that do go on, and some irregular as well. I know there was a few dusty teachers this morning as well, but I think we've got our first guest. Yes, not far away, Rick. So
not far away, Adam. Yes, and if we just look out the windows, we're from the across the atrium, we can see people getting lunch, and the catering's been quite good here.
Sensational!
It's going to make us salivate while we're doing the podcast.
Just seen the carrot cake I had this morning. It was brilliant, unbelievable.
All right, so let's get into it.
So, Rick, obviously, you had the chance over the last 2 days to be a part of DigiCon for the full 2 days, and you were also given the opportunity to give a speech. So you actually talked about Edmodo, so you had people come and listen to you talk about Edmodo, and you also had the opportunity to give a Spark talk, which was sort of a 12-minute talk to a large group of people. Obviously, we don't normally like to sort of self-indulge, but it's kind of, what did you get out of it? What were some of the highlights for you and the enjoyment that you got out of it?
Well, it was a real privilege being asked to do a Spark talk, Adam, and I was a bit nervous about it, and because I was amongst some pretty good company in terms of the other people doing Spark talks. But like you said, I don't want to talk about it to blow up my own tires, but I did want to touch on it because I kind of, in my little 12-minute talk, I sort of focused on relationships in the classroom, and how sometimes maybe some of the reasons, like that one, why we get into the job in the first place, sometimes gets a bit lost through all the numbers and the data and the number crunching that we've got to do. And I kind of realised after seeing Celia's keynote from yesterday that relationships and stories is kind of a theme that I noticed running through yesterday. And so that was really pleasing. And I think maybe conferences like these are starting to go down that path. I think when I first started coming to some of these conferences, ICTEV and others, there was a really strong tech focus. There still is, but I think we're really moving now to talking about The real things in education, teaching and learning, obviously, and but things like relationships are really important.
And I think that's being drawn out of the fact that the more we use ICT, the more we understand the relationships and the collaboration that comes along with it. I think back in those days, it was very, oh, ICT is kind of new, and we've got all these new programs to use, and how do we use them, and all those sorts of things. We didn't have the time almost to focus on the relationship aspect, did we? We were kind of focusing on, this is how we implement it, this is how we use it. And now we're going, well, we know how to do those things. This is a part of our teaching, and now we can actually focus on going back to what we should have had in the first place and developing the relationships with the students and staff as well.
Sure, and doing that comes back to the risk taking that we were talking about in the intro today, which has also been a really common theme running through a lot of the presentations. Having said that, we do have our first special guest today, and it'd be interesting to get her take on what she's got out of the conference. Yes. And
look, before we bring her on, we've got the lovely Caitlin Fraser. Just as a bit of a backstory, we did the Teaching Learning in the 21st Century course in 2013 with Caitlin. Great team member, I might add. Always great on the hangouts and all those sorts of things. Always a smiling face. And so it's really great to be able to catch up with Caitlin today and to see her journey even back from 2013 to now and what she's gotten out of Digicon. So, Caitlin, welcome.
Hello, boys.
Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast, Caitlin.
Thank you. It's been a long time coming, I think.
It has. I want to give a shout out to Lee Burns, because Lee Burns is meant to be on here.
Yeah.
He couldn't even get himself here today, so Burnsy, lift your game.
For those people that, if you're not sure who Caitlin is, hello, Caddy1 on Twitter, and I'm sure once you hear that name, you'll go, yes, that's the person, like we always do.
Yeah, that's the one who's annoying me on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
So, Caitlin, you've been here for the Friday, and you're here today, obviously. What's jumping out at you so far in the conference that's sort of sparking your interest?
Oh, look, this is the first DLTB conference I've been to, so it's quite a new experience for me. What you were saying before about the main message that I'm getting from this is the risk-taking and the change that needs to happen, and you know, the things you were all saying before, the connections. And it's not about the tech, it's about how we relate to people, how we tell a story, how we connect with others, and using technology as a tool to do that.
Do you think, I'll throw that with you, with the idea of risk takers, I think it's been really good. If this is just personal opinion, do you think that risk taking, we're not allowed to take enough risks anymore as teachers? Is everything kind of watered down a little bit, that we've got to stick to our plan and we've got to stick to this data, that we don't actually get the opportunity to take too many risks anymore?
Absolutely. We're very restricted, and I think the longer we go on, like there's all these new policies coming in and everything has to have a risk assessment, and it's just insane at the moment.
In one of the Spark talks yesterday, Conan Robertson and his son Kalani, they were touching on things about the modern learner, and I think, you know, he was kind of touching on the fact that I think you're absolutely right, that our current kind of system, the way schools work, don't kind of foster that risk taking. And Riss Leung talked about it too, didn't she? About how we kind of want to say no to a lot of things, particularly stuff in the yard, which was her example of the way kids play in the yard. And so I think that is something to me that hasn't been present in some of the conferences I went to years ago. It's great to see that it's something that is being challenged. And you kind of hope, it's one of those moments, I'm sure you felt the same, Caitlin, where you kind of wish there were more people here from your staff. Yeah. You hope there's lots of leaders here, principals, what have you, to hear these messages.
Yeah, well, we had a session with Anth Speranza this morning, and it was all about disruptive thinking and how do we buck the system, basically. How do we go back to our schools and challenge what's been set in stone, what the policies are?
Yeah. And people just don't want to do that anymore, though, do they? They kind of just, we're so worried about the processes and the data and things. And I mean, how worried about are we about things like the PDP process, where we've got to be so, you know, there's so much to do with it that you kind of go, well, if I don't hit that, then I'm in a bit of trouble. And so therefore, I'm spending all my energy and time doing that. I don't have time to buck the system. I don't have time to challenge my staff. I don't have time to take those risks. And I think coming to a conference like this really builds you up, doesn't it? It gets you excited again to go, no, I'm sorry, I do want to take risks. I do want to do something. I don't just want to be another sheep amongst the herd doing all of the same things.
Yeah.
Talking about, sort of moving on to talking about networks, you mentioned at the outset, Adam, how the three of us were in a TL21C team together with a few other educators. And Caitlin, I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on why our particular group worked? We've remained in touch online, even though we live in different parts of the state, but something clicked, and I just wonder, I mean, I've thought about it, I'm sure Adam has, what do you think? Because this, like, we aren't the only ones that this happens to, make connections online and with projects, what have you.
Yep.
What are your thoughts?
I've spoken to other participants of that same program a couple of years back, and they said, yeah, my group was terrible, like, we didn't do anything. And so I've thought about it as well, and I thought, you know what, I think it had to do with the way we chose our group. I mean, you guys were obviously friends first, and you already had that connection. You already had that relatability. So I kind of was dabbling in Twitter at the time, and so I've seen, oh wow, there's Rick. I know Rick from Twitter. I'm going to go and join Rick.
But it is an element of that, and it's kind of, in a way, we did take a risk.
Yeah.
We got together, and some people might say, oh, you just got lucky. Well, no, we didn't. We didn't get lucky. We actually sat down, and we were a group of people that looked at each other and went, hey, I'm, you know, I'm Adam, yeah. I'm Caitlin, I'm Rick, and we went back and forth, and all of a sudden, let's make a go of this. We had people that really wanted to do something really good with it, rather than just go, I'll remember it when it's a week out,
yeah.
and we've got to throw together some dodgy PowerPoint presentation about something I really haven't done.
Well, yeah. I think we all stepped out of our comfort zone, too. We didn't, like, some of us, I know I did anyway, came with a colleague from my school, and, you know, in that program, you were supposed to mingle with others, but you could have stayed insulated. I was lucky enough to do the coaching part of it last year, and I had a team that all came from the same school, and they created something at the end. But I found that maybe they were going to miss out on some of the great stuff of that course because they didn't branch out. And, you know, and we took that risk, and good luck to us.
Yeah, that's right. We made a go of it. So, and look, Caitlin, one thing I also talking earlier today, you're teaching 3-4 this year.
I am. Yes. Yep.
What's one of the main things? You know, particularly, obviously, we've been ICT. Based with the DigiCon,
yep.
What's something that you've been able to implement this year, ICT based, or even in the last year, or something that's really clicked for you and worked in the classroom?
Something that I've done a lot of, and I do with no matter what year level I'm teaching, is we use Skype quite a lot as a tool, and I'm very big on making connections and breaking down those classroom walls. And like, that's just the kind of person I am in general. Like, I'll go and wander into my colleagues' classrooms, and they'll go, oh, did you want something? I said, no, just coming in for a chat, just seeing what you're doing, stealing ideas, you know,
nice display over there.
That's,
you know,
it, yeah.
That's, I just, before you go on, and I want to hear more, but that is great. And I know that's something that's being put into our school at the moment as an actual process of kind of like a peer observation, but they're getting people to pair up with someone who they want to see outside your immediate team, and just go, and it's not a critique, it's not a coaching thing, it's just go and watch.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, look, we're encouraged, we have to do peer observations once a term as well, but we're encouraged to go on learning walks, and they try to, I guess, formalise the process, because I think they fear that if they don't make that a formal thing, people won't do it, and they won't.
Because they're busy doing other things, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So one of the tools I've been using in my classroom is Skype as a connecting tool. So we recently wasn't connected to anything. It was one of the boys in my class really liked sharks. So I thought, okay, well, what can we do with this? We actually ended up Skyping with a lady in America in Colorado, and she was fantastic. She's a marine biologist, and she's got a lot of knowledge on the topic. And so she stayed up till 5:30 her time, and so we, you know, 9:30 our time, the time zones actually worked out for once, which was great. And she blew the kids away. We had four classes in the one room who just kind of hung on my coattails, I guess. But you ask the kids the best thing they've done this year, and they'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That's because they haven't been to camp yet.
Yeah. Was high. But that's sensational, and it's amazing to see that. It's almost such a simple thing you've done in terms of how we connect these days. But you're right, it's great to hear that it stands out as a great learning experience.
And it's so powerful. It's so much more powerful than just reading the words off the page.
That's
the
right.
Kids kind of go, oh, yeah, that's cool. But to have a lady there from another country talking to them about that, that's just so powerful, isn't it?
It is. And look, just before we finish up with Caitlin, Adam, I just want to get back to the talking about this conference and DigiCon. First time it's been called DigiCon. And I just want to, with Caitlin here, I just want to touch on how great it is, how they champion Victorian teachers. Mm-hmm. And all the keynotes, Barb and Edmonds this morning, were all Victorian teachers.
Yeah.
And I just think it's fantastic. And this is your first time, Caitlin. And let's just touch on the fact that last night as well was probably your first official DLTV beer pedagogy last night. although I did notice you with a glass of champagne in your hand, so maybe champagne pedagogy. But how did you find that?
The keynotes themselves have been brilliant. Yesterday's keynotes with Hamish, Hamish just blew me out of the water. I love the way he speaks, and I love the way he challenges my thinking as well. But
hang on, he blew you out of the water though with a banana.
With a banana, exactly.
Oh, we're not going to talk about banana gate. No, we're going to get more airtime.
Banana gate
it?
Has to get a mention.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, right. Oh, okay. Yeah,
look up the hashtag.
Well, maybe not.
So look, I do want to say, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on. It's great to catch up with someone that we spent a lot of time with in 2013 to see, you know, not only the wonderful things that you're doing, but just to sit down and catch up and reminisce about all the wonderful things that we did.
And you've been a good champion of the podcast since day one.
Yes,
so
you have.
You.
Number one fan, we used to say. Caitlin Fraser, our number one fan. Good to have you finally on. So, Caitlin, thank you so much.
Thank you, boys.
Tough.
All right, Adam, I've been able to duck outside and get our second guest, and I'm pretty rapt because we're getting a keynoter 20 minutes prior to when he actually goes on stage.
So he's a bit jumpy.
He is a bit jumpy.
Very. Sweating bullets. Yeah.
We have Corey Barclay. Welcome to Two Regular Teachers, Corey.
Yes, thank you very much. Good to be here.
And you've been a champion of the podcast as well. We mentioned that to Caitlin earlier. You've been a good retweeter for us and on Twitter and on Google+. Thanks
Absolutely.
For that.
No, you're welcome.
How have you found the conference so far? I know you're a bit of a regular to some of these things, but what have you kind of got out of it as an elder statesman of the old Vic PLN? Mm. Do you still get something new, even if it's an idea, out of this sort of stuff?
Definitely, definitely. In saying that, it's probably the first one I've attended in a good 2 years. I used to do conferences quite regularly, like all the time, and then I just got to a point where enough was enough.
Yep.
Wanted to focus on the old teaching and learning aspect side of things, focus on what was happening within my own school, and so therefore pretty much stayed away from it.
Yeah.
So this is the first conference I've actually been to in quite some time, and I'm loving it. It's good to see the old faces again, but it's really good to see that new generation of teachers come through.
It is. I'm a little bit like yourself. This has kind of just been my one this year, and it's nice to sort of get back. You have those moments where you just want to get back on the ground and
definitely.
Focus on the front line, don't you? And the next generation, it's interesting. I feel that there's a bit more maybe a bit more open energy from the people, new faces here, you know, people who are here kind of wanting to just learn more.
Sure. And I said to someone yesterday after the session that I presented that, you know, I think that 90% of the people who were here at DigiCon 15 aren't necessarily the ones who perhaps need to be here. You know what I mean? They're the ones here because they're engaged and they're keen, especially for those of us who are here on a Saturday.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Giving up our own time. You know, it's some of those, you know, movers and shakers back in our settings that aren't here are the ones that perhaps need to be.
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to get them here though, isn't it? It's really hard to get them here.
Like pulling teeth.
Yeah, it is. It is because you put it forward and go, have a look how good this is. Look at these things. And they go, it's a bit too hard. I don't know, that Friday I've got to do this. No, Saturday. I don't do Saturdays. I'm not a teacher on a Saturday.
That's exactly right.
It's really hard to get them out of their comfort zone to get them here.
That's exactly right.
And you kind of know, don't you, that if you've got some of those people here, that they would go wow. Mm. And I was thinking exactly what you thought during Hamish's keynote yesterday morning, that, you know, it's another one of those moments where you think, oh, geez, I wish so-and-so was here. Like, so you just need people to be here. But
that's exactly
right. We try our best.
It's hard to bring it back, isn't it? It's hard to come back and say this is what was said because it doesn't have the same effect, you know, as I'm actually sitting there and watching this in action and that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
It's really hard to transfer that emotion you get from being here.
Yeah,
and then take that back to your school.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can try and inspire back in your own settings, you know, time and time and time again, but necessarily it doesn't have that same effect.
Mm, that's right.
Well, especially that effect that you want it to have.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
Now, mate, recently you've moved schools and you're obviously closer to home and you're working a slightly different role in a fairly challenging environment, but I'm sure a very enriched environment. How's the new position going?
Fantastic. I love it. I've never known a school or a setting to do so much for its kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, you know, from, you know, the northern suburbs of Geelong, and it's noted for its disadvantaged people who live in those areas. But the school does amazing things for its kids. It places an exceptionally high level of well-being and inclusion and equity throughout all of its campuses. And to be ingrained in that is really, really special.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to hear you say that. I know one or two other people who are working out there, and sure, it's a challenge, but it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of passionate people there, I guess, and I guess that's what you need.
And look, Corey, before we let you go, because we don't want to keep you up, because you're going to be up in no time at all, what are you actually talking about today, just for the listeners out there? What are you actually bringing up to talk about with people today?
So I think at the top of my head, my keynote session's titled Impacts and Influences. Yep. So the things that have really impacted and influenced what I do on a day-to-day basis, and probably since I started teaching 13 years ago. Yep. So I covered some of those three areas about driving and leading change, about the fact that we are within a profession, if you like, that is constantly evolving, and then also, you know, the power of building a network amongst our teachers and, you know, that profession. So
fantastic.
Yeah, well, congratulations, mate, to get the nod, and I'm sure you're a little bit toey.
Just appreciate it. A little bit nervous.
That's normal, yeah.
We'll be.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thanks for being on the podcast, mate. We hope to get you back on in some other capacities.
No, you're welcome, definitely. It's been great.
Thanks very much.
All right, Adam, I've been on another search. I walked out into the atrium and I have gathered a group. We've got
a plethora.
I've got some of the DLTV. I've got some of DLTV's finest.
I would say doyens.
The doyens of DLTV. DLTV. I've got Beck Spink. We've got Mel Cashin. We've got Ben Gallagher. We've got Andrew Williamson. And then we've got a couple of bonus guests. We've got Tina Fatakis, all the way from Adelaide, and Scott Duncan. So what a search! How well have I done? Hi guys.
Unbelievable.
Hi.
G'day. How are you?
And I just want to Beck and Mel and Ben, and I guess you, Andrew, as well, I just want to touch on the fact that you guys have been a big part of the organisation of the event. At this stage of the day, or of the conference, how are you feeling with how things are going?
Yeah, feeling really, really happy with it. I think we've had two spectacular days so far. So lots of interesting presentations and people are talking. We nearly broke Twitter.
Yep. Well, that hashtag was trending yesterday. It was trending. I saw it on there. Yeah.
Sure was, yeah. Yeah. It has been, look, I mentioned in a previous segment that the championing of the Vic PLN is just so alive and present here. And I think the fact that most of our keynotes are from Victoria, I know that's a conscious decision and it's great. How do you go about, I guess, approaching people about it, Beck?
Oh, I don't even know where to start. I think
we draw swords and argue.
Yeah, whoever gets the short straw.
Yeah.
I suppose what you said about being Victorian—that's the number one thing. We want to showcase what educators across our state are doing, and we should be really proud of what we're doing. So it's just through our networks, talking to people who we think who's doing what, getting to know people and what they're doing in different settings. So Hamish yesterday was, I think, one of our best picks. Mm. It was fantastic.
That's great,
and then this morning, the whole idea of the Saturday morning one was to get everybody laughing and happy on a Saturday morning. And, even though she's not an educator, her message about failure and taking risks, is a message that we can all resonate with. So
it sure was. And we mentioned, Anne, in our intro today about how Adam and I are even doing that today by stepping out of our comfort zone by doing this podcast public. Now, the Spark Talks have been the thing that have really stood out for me. I felt very privileged to be asked to do one myself, but I think they're something that should definitely be carried on next year. I know it was something that came kind of late in the process. Where did that spark come from to decide on that?
Oh, that was over a dinner and a couple of drinks one night and a napkin. That's where all the planning actually happened. So I've still got that original napkin. But that was really an idea about looking at trying to get those Victorian educators that we can have as keynotes. And looking around our network going, we've got potential here for so many amazing keynotes. Mm-hmm. It'd be really great to give them a voice and a space to go and have that sort of short practice of what it would be like to do a keynote presentation.
Yeah, I think it's such a great idea. And I know a lot of people were tweeting from the Spark Talk saying they'd be happy to sit in here all day. And I've kind of was thinking the same thing. Now, Ben, I want to ask you about being on DLTV. You're a very busy man, and like all of us here, yes, you are very busy. And like all of us here, you still work in school, in a school. How do you manage your time with DLTV?
I move school, so it's closer to Melbourne, so it's easy to get down there. No, not really. I run on a lot of lack of sleep, get up very early, go to work, do what I need to do before school so that I can leave quickly after school. The fact that we're able to hang out for our meetings as well, through Google rather than have to be in person all the time, makes it a bit easier, especially now being vice president. I've got a couple of meetings instead of just the one that we normally had as a committee of management, so I can't get down there to both all the time.
Sure.
But it's just part of the dedication that we all have of being teachers. Mm. We want to be the best that we can be. Sometimes you go that extra yard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's great to hear, because I think a lot of people outside of teaching don't understand the dedication that teachers put in at all. So to hear you get up and do that, I mean, that's outside. You're not paid for that. I mean, you go out and do that and do it out of the love for the job and the love that you want to do for students and for staff and all that sort of stuff. And it's missed. It's really easily missed by the general public.
No, thanks, Ben. Now, Tina, you've come all the way from Adelaide, and you're our first South Australian guest.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I'd just like to thank DLTV because basically I'm the president of EdTech SA in my spare time, but we've all started to support each other in the different states, so there'll be an invitation out for EdTech SA's conference, but we only just had it, so we're looking at changing the timing, but I have just been absolutely blown away. I came to the conference when you had it at Melbourne Grammar and just seeing the growth, and I didn't think it could get any bigger or any more diverse, but it's just been fantastic. And
when it was at Melbourne Grammar, it was still ICT EV then.
Yes.
Since then, last year was first DLTV conference, so it was pretty big last year, and I think we've managed to keep that momentum going.
I tried to come last year, so yes, so this is my first DLTV conference as such, but the Spark Talks, I was there when Jenny and when Andrew presented as well, and thank you, Andrew, you spoke from the heart for specialist teachers and the arts, resonated with us, so even though we're in a different state, basically we have the same kind of issues, and I love the way you have Victorian keynotes, and I'm taking a lot of ideas back.
Great, that's what it's for.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. Kudos to the team and to everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Tina. Now, I know we're a bit pushed for time because we want to get to Corey's keynote. But Andrew, can I just get you over here just for a second, just to follow on from what Tina said, just to touch on a little bit about what you talked about in your Spark Talk, championing particularly the arts, specialist teachers in the arts. What was kind of the message you were getting across?
I suppose the message was that I think that the arts needs a bit more of a focus as far as the design of curriculum is concerned. And so my whole premise of my argument was that there's actually an ACARA design brief out there, and it gives it a subject design in percentages. So you've got things like English at 27%, maths at say 18 or 19 or 20%, and the arts is a measly 4%, which equates to around about 40 hours per year of arts education. And when I say arts education, that's shared between music and art and drama.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So really what you're looking at is, if you're lucky, you might get a semester of each. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that, that equates to around about, you know, maybe if you're lucky, 20 hours of music a year, if you're in a school that does that. Now, some schools don't even do that.
No, they don't. No.
And a recent inquiry into the Victorian Music Education pointed out that even though they were unable to get clear data from the department and the CEO and the independent schools, anecdotal evidence showed that music education was... well, the servicing of music education was pretty low. Mm. But Songroom have done quite an extensive research into music education across Australia, and they've found out that 1.4 million children miss out on music education.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Phenomenal.
And to think that, like, getting back to that 20 hours thing, to think that music, for so many of us, can almost be the cornerstone of your life. I mean, I know, for me, it's like a food. I wouldn't be able to live without it.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of my spark was outlining the current research, and it's really solid research about, and it's done by neuroscientists, not by music educators, but by neuroscientists that demonstrate that music and music education especially has a great impact on the child's brain and the developmental brain. One key one that was fascinating was, if you have a structured music lessons before the age of 7, and when they say structured music lessons, they generally are talking about instrumental lessons, you're likely to increase 7.5 IQ points. So if you think about it, we're average people.
Yeah,
you,
sure.
You might be Mensa.
Rick's definitely not Mensa.
Average, so I have an IQ of 100. So yeah, I had music lessons before the age of 7, so perhaps I've got 107 IQ points. Now, if you take that's 20%, because if... Mensa is 130, so there's a gain of 20% on the average.
Absolutely, it's amazing, and you're kind of. I mean, I read a lot about that review that you mentioned, and I guess we just hope that something does kind of change. I don't know how, if it will, but
I don't know.
I'm not sure if I like the combination of, like you said, it all being under the performing arts banner.
No,
not just because of the time, but also does that make employing people difficult, do you think, too? Because if you don't have a drama angle, but you're a trained music teacher, or is that, do you think that's an issue or not?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm not sure whether I've made up my mind on that. But I will say this: I will say that I don't think that music education for pre-service teachers, for generalist teachers, that it's mandated that there's enough. I know that you can choose them from an elective point of view, but I think there needs to be mandated. They need to have more experience, and in music education, so that when they do come to the classroom, that if there's no music teacher there, that they feel confident and comfortable that they can teach a music lesson, or they can be given resources to teach a music lesson. And I also think that they need access to experts. So yeah, sure, I'm an advocate for having more musicians become music educators, but feasibly, I think we're better off by putting more of an emphasis into pre-service teaching and giving them the resources to be able to go out and do it.
Great point.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right.
And Scott Duncan, thanks for dropping into the podcast. You weren't here yesterday, but you're here for the Saturday at DigiCon, and thanks for being on. And what have you got out of today, mate?
I've been mainly hanging out in the Spark sessions, so catching up with a few of the presenters in there today, and just the process of challenging people to take a risk caught up with Andrew's session on music education and the value of that earlier, and heard from, I actually presented myself on the power of student voice and involving students in school decision making process.
That's interesting. I know you've done a bit of that before and you're a bit of a champion of that. Can you tell us just give us a little snapshot on some of the student voice stuff that you've done or you've been doing in your school?
Yeah, so the focus of my presentation today was around moving away from student councils just being fundraising organisations and charity collectors, and I suppose those token jobs as well that we expect students to do, so that, you know, raising the flagpole, cleaning up rubbish, that sort of stuff, and really looking at how we can get students involved in policy making, curriculum decisions, and sort of share some of that decision making that goes on where it's appropriate.
That's fantastic, because I think you're right. I think most junior school councils are kind of, they're just that sort of charity collecting thing, aren't they? Yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned the Spark Talks. That's just come up so much as a fantastic idea that I think they'll pursue next year. Now, you've just come off a little bit of long service leave, and you and I were talking off air about how great it is to have that opportunity to take leave, and I know you went to Europe. How did you find, because sometimes teachers find the transition from working full-time into leave quite difficult, even though you know you're entitled to it. How did you go with the transition?
Look, it was a real struggle. Having, you know, not heard from anyone else's experience or taken leave prior, to take a huge chunk of time off when you're, you know, deep in the throes of teaching and, you know, being in a small school wearing multiple hats, to that process of letting go, I think at the start was really scary, and putting up, you know, having confidence in other people that things are going to carry on. First week it was sitting on the other side of the world. I remember standing under the Eiffel Tower checking the email, following up on reports and seeing if everything was still going okay. And I think I had that moment, it's like I'm on the other side of the world, I can't do anything about it, I have to switch off. So I think I deleted the app and turned it off for 6 weeks, and didn't think about school till I walked back in Monday morning, first day, term three.
That's fantastic. And I think a lot of people could really empathise with that moment. I mean, amazing to think you were standing in a location like that and checking your email. But I think I think deleting the app is a great thing, yeah. Because I mean, if it's still there, we're still tempted to check, aren't we? Yeah.
I had to. It was still sitting there. It was just, the temptation was too great, so I had to turn it off. And no, it was the process of letting go and knowing that the world would still continue without you. And they did a great job.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Scott, for dropping in along with all the others. And hopefully we'll see you again. And you've been a bit of a champion of the Two Regular Teachers podcast. So
long-time listener.
Yeah, and we very much appreciate it.
No worries.
And I did turn the drums down for you.
Oh, you've done well. You've done well. And congratulations on your win too, the Rock, Paper, Scissors champion of the conference.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if anything's appeared in the tweet stream, but I cannot believe that I got to the forefront and won. I've never won that many Rock, Paper, Scissors games in my life. All right, thanks, Scott.
Cheers, Rick.
Right, our final guest on our special DigiCon edition of Two Regular Teachers is, someone who's making his 2015 return to the Two Regular Teachers seat, and that's Mr. BPS, John Pearce. Thanks for coming in, John.
Thank you, Rick. I thought it was Two Ordinary Teachers, but I do remember now it's Two Regular Teachers, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you've been away for a while. I kind of understand.
And I'm getting old, too.
Yeah, you are getting old.
As I reflected in my little Sparky talk.
Yes, which I missed. Sorry.
You missed. Well, look,
and you missed mine.
I did. Well, there we go. But talking of talks, Sparky talks and everything else, what a great idea.
What a great idea. And it's come up a lot in a lot of the reflection conversations with people, and it's came up a lot in this podcast as well. A lot of people have said that they could have sat there all day. Yep. And I think a great idea. And it was interesting to hear Mel and Beck say that it was an idea that came quite late.
It did, rather, yeah. Mm. And because of that, perhaps, you know, it hasn't received the recognition. But boy, oh boy, it's something that's got to go. And I've just heard a whisper too amongst the Illuminati, as they're so called, that they were very impressed with yours. And it came over, and there was a suggestion, you know, that some of these Sparky talks could lead to bigger things and things. So hopefully, maybe it might. Get you out the front there at the after lunch spot or the just after nine spot.
Well, I very much appreciate that feedback, and I must admit I didn't kind of see that kind of angle coming at me when I was asked to do the 12-minute one. But hearing Corey speak today and talk about the moment when he realised what he had to do, but then rising to the occasion as he did. Yeah, well, perhaps it's something I can look at. Yeah, thank you.
Well, this is now 2 years in a row, basically, that it's been all Aussie and certainly even all local.
Mm.
And it just shows, you know, there is a depth of talent there, and you know, the message has not been diluted in any way. Mm. It hasn't made any difference as the lights dim in our room.
They have just dimmed. We are in total darkness now in our little podcasting room, but that's okay.
That's all right. We'll plough on. We can still see the little red light that's indicating fascinating we're talking. Yeah, but getting back to it, yeah, no, it's just so refreshing that that we have a message that is worth telling. And
I was going to ask you that. I mean, you've been to a lot of these events over many years now, including many of the ICTEVs, which I attended with you and presented with you, and some of the VITA, and obviously DLTV is kind of a combination of the two. Is in terms of this organisation championing the Victorian side of things, the VicPLN, is that the only thing that's evolved in your time attending these conferences? How have they changed, or have they changed?
Well, there's a remarkable similarity that runs through. Like, you've still got a structure that you know, you had the keynote business, and then the other bits and pieces, and the sessions, and so forth, and that. But it has been interesting that the last 2 years there've been initiatives taken, such as the Sparky talks and the fringe stuff, and that there's a persistence there. Although, you know, once again, this is the second time I've had a go at a fringe presentation. Although, you know, you didn't get the mass numbers, and that. I did a rough estimation yesterday, and we had probably around between 40 and 50 go through our space,
yeah,
over the whole day. Now, that equated, you know, where you see a session, you know, you might get 40 in a session or something like that in the 45 minutes. But a number of those people actually stayed there for an hour, and one guy particularly stayed for about an hour and a half.
Wow.
And you know, and I actually learnt more of him than he learnt of me, I think, because of what we did. But yeah, there's that innovative side, that aspect that's been brought on board.
That has been brought on board, and I think they're like play spaces, aren't they? And I think it's the hands-on. And you know what? I brought some students up on Thursday to the digital learning showcase, and I kind of think that it was a great day, but I kind of think that what you just described in terms of the fringe spaces and the fringe festival, I kind of think that's actually what that showcase was missing. A chance for the kids to play more. That kind of side of things would see that day really rise, I think.
But the problem is still, though, that the majority of people still want to come along, and they want to sit, and they want to be told, and they want to listen, and they want to be given. And, you know, the old syndrome of, I want something I can do on Monday, still holds true for probably the majority.
It sure does.
And, you know, we can rail against it, or we can dismiss it, or we can do whatever. But it's, if that's the case. So you've got to mix and match the two. And that's a real challenge. There was a conversation that was overheard, you know, with and I think we talked about it last night, with somebody coming out of a session going, well, that was a waste of time. You know, if anybody sits in a session and has a total waste of time, well, they obviously haven't brought their device with them, because I don't sit there and waste my time.
You're absolutely right. It's actually one of those things, isn't it, that you know that it's almost like having this full backup plan that's always going to be fruitful, and sometimes the back channel is where some of the best stuff's going on. The final thing, I guess one of the final things I want to talk about with you is something maybe a little bit more lighthearted, and that's just how some of the regular experiences that happen at conferences. I'm talking about even like sometimes the way that we all dutifully line up for our food and our drinks. Sometimes the lack of chairs. I don't know about you, but I do know about you. Walking around with so much gear in your hands, and then you kind of want a coffee in one hand, you want a lunch in the other hand. There's some things about the conference format that's quite always makes me chuckle.
The conference juggle.
Struggle, absolutely. Yes. Devices, bags, cords.
And the plastic plate that bends under the weight. And then you have the plastic cup that you've got to somehow put onto that, and with your drink in. And I'm not a coffee drinker, so thank God I don't have to line up in that long line of coffee people.
And me too.
And that's always present.
What about the soup? I mean, I've spilt soup twice.
No, never touch soup. That's just an unwritten rule. I've only got a certain amount of clothes that I bought with me, so I can't go home and get changed.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I would do it.
And also you showed your presence at which is becoming an institution now, the beer pedagogy last night. What are your reflections on that kind of event? A lot of people who aren't in the teaching profession don't quite understand what it is.
Yeah, well, it's a space in which apocryphal stories are spread with lavish, and one-upsmanship is almost the key.
It is.
And fearful reminiscence that probably are nothing born out of fact, but nonetheless still. And having the situation now where I partake of the social soda water. My pint of soda water went down well. Well, I watched and listened in as people talked about, you know, well, is it an IPA or is it the red or is what's that bond? And it's pure crap. Trust me, it's pure crap. But it took up more than half the night.
But there's lots of different flavours. I'm going to stand my ground. I know what you're referring to, and the red ale was very good.
But I tell you what, though, there are some significant conversations around big topics, way beyond the beer and way beyond all that sort of stuff that do, and it might seem intimidating, but it's always good when you get somebody who hasn't been to something like this before,
absolutely,
comes along and then put us back in our place.
Because and aside from all the frivolity, you're right. As soon as someone asks a question, and if it is someone new who wants to know something, all the people who are there or whoever they're asking the question to will respond in detail, and you get that great networking opportunity. Yeah. Well, look, John, thanks for coming on, and I know Adam and I were maybe discussing getting you back on sometime around the Christmas time when we're all happy and relaxed, or kind of relaxed, tired out.
The jovial reminisce.
It's the jovial reminisce. And you can get back to watching the football scores now on your device. Geelong are still in front.
Okay. They are still. But all of that will have become clear by the time that this goes to the air, no doubt.
It sure will. All right. Thanks again.
Not a problem. Thank you.
So, Rick, regrettably, that brings an end to episode 38 because it's probably the best episode we've ever had the opportunity to do, really, hasn't it?
Well, it's very exciting, isn't it, Adam? And we have it. We've done it. We've jumped out of our comfort zone. And we'd like to thank all the guests that we've had on today to give up their time because, look, conferences are really enjoyable events. They're also very busy events. If you really dip in and get involved in everything, you've got so much choice.
Yep.
So thanks to those people for giving up their time on the podcast.
And that's what I wanted to say too. They're very selfless people that aren't doing it for themselves. They're doing it for the educators to get that out there to the students and doing those things. They're giving up all their Friday, all their Saturday. Probably they'll do things tomorrow as well and catch up with other things as well. It's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. And I know Corey mentioned, you know, people giving up their Saturdays. And so well done to all the educators who have done that today.
Yep.
Adam, this is one of the first episodes we've ever published on a weekend, but we will be following up really quickly with episode 39 on our usual Thursday night time slot.
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting back into that, aren't we, mate? It's been a couple of weeks, and obviously we didn't do one last week with DigiCon this weekend and that sort of stuff, so we're ready and raring to go for a big term three.
And can I just say well done to you for breaking down the barriers and coming to your first Victorian conference, Adam?
Yeah, mate, it's really, really good. And look, obviously I would have loved to have come on the Friday as well, but having a young bub and things like that as well makes things a bit more of a challenge. I mean, even coming up today, it is a challenge on your weekend, but at the same time I was aware of the importance of being here, and I'm already taking back, even though I've only been here for a little bit, I'm taking back a ton of ideas and real enthusiasm and excitement again to take back with me.
Great stuff. And look, the DigiCon 15 hashtag will still be running all weekend and probably into next week. So jump in there's so much great stuff that's been shared. Thanks to all the people who have retweeted us and supported us. It's been an absolute privilege to be kind of given the all clear to podcast from the conference.
Yep.
Hopefully we get a chance to do it next year, Adam.
Mate, we'll be back here next year. So from me, Adam Lavaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson. At DigiCon 15, we've both been two regular teachers.